All right, well, who do we have on Skype today up there? All right. Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I'll get it. Okay. Well, you know, I was asking the Lord what he wanted to share today, and he was just talking to me about, you know, how many different ways that we can know him, you know. Throughout the scriptures, you know, you can see, you know, in the New Testament, the Old Testament, you can see God as our healer. You can see him as our deliverer. All of these different ways that we can know Christ. But there is one specific way that I believe the Lord wants us to know him that is greater than all of these ways. I mean, it's great. You know, I mean, I don't want to minimize any of the other ways of knowing the Lord in that sense. I don't want, certainly knowing Christ as your healer is important. You know, knowing Christ as your deliverer, it's important. It's important to know the Lord in those ways, and we should know the Lord in those ways. But if y'all will turn with me to Colossians 3, we'll start with verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You know, I was just meditating on this verse, this specifically verse 4. You know, and when we have stuff going on in our lives, we want Jesus to show up, right? You know, if we're sick or we have something, doesn't really matter what it is. It's, let's just call it an adverse circumstance, something that makes us uncomfortable. We want the Lord to show up. You know, if we're sick, we want the Lord to show up and heal us. Or, you know, if we are in a bad financial situation, we would love for the Lord to show up and deliver us from that situation. But as I was reading this, the Lord just put it in my heart. It says, when Christ, who is our life, appears. You know, this is the Jesus that really wants to show up in our circumstances. Christ, who is our life. When he shows up in a very different way than, you know, I mean, I think probably all of us have experienced it, you know, when Jesus, by his grace, has shown up and delivered us from something or healed us or whatever. I mean, and like I said, all those things are valid, all those things are good, and all those things are important. But when Christ, who is our life, appears, it says, then you also will appear with him in glory. And this is talking about, I mean, clearly speaking of our oneness with the Lord. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 11. Look a little bit at the story of Lazarus. maybe. If I wrote down the right verse, that would help. What's that? I did mean John 11. Thank you. Yeah, I meant that. I don't know how I got Luke 11 written down there, but I would have been preaching something altogether different had we gone to Luke 11. And it definitely wouldn't have been Lazarus. All right. And we're all familiar with this story, but let's just read it. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore the sisters went to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Now, does that make any sense at all? When he heard he was sick, he stayed 2 more days. Well, it does make sense if you understand the way that the Lord wants to appear. Jesus, the healer, could have just run right over there and showed up for them. But that's not how he wanted Mary and Martha to know him. It's not the way he wanted Lazarus to know him either. And so it says, then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let's go up to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And are you going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." And these things he said. And after that, he said to them, "Turn the page." Okay. "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go up that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go up that we may die with him." Sounds, you know, real spiritual, but funny how we can come up with spiritual things to say sometimes that have absolutely nothing to do with the Spirit of Christ. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." And as soon as he heard that, she rose. And of course, we know what happened here is that Jesus went and he spoke to Lazarus, and Lazarus came out of the tomb. And you know, in this, you know, Jesus is speaking to them of him being the resurrection and the life. And, you know, I think a lot of times when we read the scriptures, we can so easily read them and not see the reality of our oneness with Christ. You know, when Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," we don't see Jesus as the resurrection and the life being in us. We just see him out there somewhere else. Well, Jesus, you know, send down your resurrection and your life, or, you know, whatever. And the Lord wants to show up in us in a way, well, just like it says here in Colossians, when, you know, it says, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God when Christ, who is our life, appears." And I just keep that phrase, when, you know, there's Christ, like I said, Christ the healer, Christ the deliverer, Christ whatever, you know, whatever we've experienced, Christ the comforter. But I'm not talking about any of those. I mean, yes, he is the same Jesus. But the Jesus that I want us to see in this is the one who lives in us. He's the one that wants to show up in our circumstances. He doesn't want to just show up to deliver us or to heal us or to help us. He wants to show up in us. And if somebody gets healed, he wants to do it through us. And the thing about this word, it says, "Then you will also appear with him in glory." You know, I was looking up some in some different Bible dictionaries, that word glory. We were talking about it a little bit up at Grand Mound in Washington. But the phrase that kept coming up over and over again in all the different Bible dictionaries I looked in was God's moral beauty and perfection of character. And I was just thinking about that. "Then you also will appear with him in glory." What that's saying is that, folks, that people are going to see that same glory in us, that same moral beauty and perfection of character. What they will be seeing, obviously, is not us. But what they'll be seeing is Christ. And, you know, the scripture says that Christ is our righteousness. Well, that's not just a doctrine. God desires that that would be manifest in us, that his obedience, the obedience of one, would be manifest through us. So when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I was thinking about another verse over in Revelation as I was reading this. It reminded me of when John saw the Lord in chapter 1 of Revelation. It says, Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands." And of course, the seven lampstands represent the church. "And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man." And of course, it gives a description of him. But the thing I remember, the Lord spoke very strongly to me in this first chapter, is that when Christ, when Christ is revealed in the way that he wants to be revealed, when Christ appears in the way that he wants to appear, it's not separate from his people. There is no when Jesus appears in the way that he wants to appear, it's in oneness with us. There is no separation. You cannot, you know, after that first chapter of Revelation, there really is no place where you see Jesus and his church as two separate entities, because they're not. There isn't Jesus in the church. There's Christ in his people, Christ in the midst, and that's all there is, because everything else was left in the grave. Any other way of relating to Jesus is supposed to be buried. But we still find ways of relating to the Lord in our circumstances, you know, as him somehow being out there instead of allowing Jesus to appear as our life. And we should not be satisfied with anything less than Christ appearing as our life. There's another verse, the mystery which has been hidden from ages, from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. And we know this scripture around here very intimately. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And there's that word again, that word hope of glory. And so let's plug that little sentence in there that we used earlier. God's hope of his moral beauty and perfection of character. Wouldn't that be really awesome if that were really true? Well, what do I mean by that? Well, you mean it's not really true? No, I mean it really is true, but is it true in us? Is it seen in us? Are we allowing Christ to appear in the way that he desires to appear? Are we allowing Jesus to show up in situations the way he wants to let's put it a different way. Are we allowing Jesus to show up on his terms or our terms? Right? You know, we always want Jesus to show up. But are we allowing him to show up on his terms? Are we allowing him to appear in that situation as our life? And, you know, when Jesus appears by life, sometimes, well, not sometimes, pretty much all the time, it involves us going down into death. Right? It doesn't involve us getting good stuff from God. It involves us putting others first. It involves us maybe not getting what we want in that situation, or maybe our flesh not being always happy in that situation. And not to say that the Lord, his heart is so beautiful. He always blesses us. I mean, you think about the deal last night. You know, Randy and Deb, they weren't looking for that. But it wasn't this body that did that. It was the Lord in us that put it in our hearts to honor them and bless them in that way. You know, if this were not true, then why would God do that kind of stuff? And he does that for us all the time. So much above and beyond what we deserve. He honors us when it's all Jesus, you know. The only honor, you know, the only thing of any eternal worth that we can offer is him. But he still honors us. Isn't that just awesome? And that's just the way he is. He's just that beautiful heart that just continually pours out on those he loves. But he wants to show up in us in that way for others. He wants us to, in those circumstances, he wants to appear on his terms for others through us. And so, you know, I just it was just in my heart that, you know, in this whole account of Lazarus. You know, I think sometimes we can mistakenly believe that, you know, somehow Jesus isn't going to show up for us because we're messed up. Jesus isn't going to show up in that way for me because of the vessel. Well, let me just share a scripture with you. The Lord shared this with me, and it just really blessed me. We're talking about Jesus showing up, and really, when Christ is revealed or Christ appears, it's about seeing Jesus, right? Well, in Luke 5, chapter 12, it says, and it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. I don't know. I was just reading through this. And, of course, this is just an account in the Gospels. But the Lord just spoke this to my heart just really, really powerfully. And he said, you know, people who are full of leprosy can still see Jesus. You know, people who are full of leprosy can still see Jesus. And it says, and he fell on his face. Matter of fact, when you're full of leprosy, you really, really appreciate it when Jesus shows up as your life. I think all the more, you know, when we're not perfect, which, you know, the truth of the matter is all of us are full of leprosy. You know, all of us, you know, just like Moses, you know, God had him stick his hand into his garment and then pull it out, and it was leprous. He was showing Moses what was in his heart. And, you know, all of us are full of leprosy. And that's not what Jesus wants us to see. Jesus wants us to see that even a man who is full of leprosy can see Jesus. Even a man who is full, Jesus can actually really show up as your life. And you know what happens? The beautiful thing about when he shows up as your life, leprosy cannot cohabitate with Jesus. That leprosy will be gone. You know, the more that Jesus shows up and appears in us in this way, the more we are going to see that moral beauty of the Lord and that perfection of his character being formed in us, which is what we all want. But, well, how does this happen? Well, it happens just like it happened for John. It says that he heard, you know, we all hear the voice of the Lord around this place. You know, the Lord speaks to us. Now, I'm going to say something else, too. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us and we're not listening. The Lord speaks to all of us. You know, it's just a matter of whether we take the time to sit down and listen for that still small voice. Because we can get so busy. And you know what? We can get so busy searching the Word. We can be so busy studying the Bible that we don't take time to sit down and just be with the Lord and listen for his voice. And just say, Lord, I need to hear from you. I don't need to just read this and fill my head with more information. You know, that's not what I need. I need you. But hearing the Lord is not even enough. You know, as it says here in Revelation, in 1:12, it says, and then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. You know, and of course, that's a turning of the heart. We all have heard the scripture. It says, when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is rent. And, you know, as we turn our hearts to the Lord, then that's when he's going to begin to show up in the way that we really want the Lord to show up. But the thing about it is that it's not just a one-time turning, is it? right? It's not just, you know, we'll have an experience with the Lord. The Lord will speak to our hearts and we'll get all excited about it. And then we'll go back to our routine instead of saying, okay, wow, I'm seeing the Lord moving me in ways that I haven't seen. Maybe I need to stay in this state that I'm in right now of having a hungry heart, recognizing my need, and continually turning to the Lord in this way. And I really believe, you know, that our hearts in this place, we can get so used to hearing this message and begin to take it so for granted that this is always going to be here for us. That we're always going to have this abundance of word and you know, all of the things that we have right now. But the reality is, it could all change tomorrow. You know, just in a twinkling of an eye, everything could change, and we could just be out there on our own, like so many of the brothers and sisters that are, you know, on Skype and in different places. And for years, they didn't even have Skype. They didn't even have a way of gathering at all. But that could be the reality for us. And are we going to be, you know, are our hearts in a place, are we in a place where if that happened, we ourselves could become an environment of Christ where Christ can appear as his life in that circumstance, and others can be affected. You know, I was just thinking about just the impact that Randy and Deb have had. But, you know, I want my heart to be in a place where if everything else was taken away, that would remain, that Christ as my life would be seen, that you know, it talks about, you know, if you know, don't hide a light under a vessel or under a bed, you know, and I was thinking about that, you know, so often we can do that. We have that light in us, but we can cover it up with our own flesh, with the vessel. And I don't want to do that. I want Jesus to be able to appear as my life anytime he wants to. Greg? Amen. Yeah, so I won't continue, you know, any further. I feel like the Lord's pretty much said what he wants to say, but I just feel like, you know, the Lord wants to stir our hearts up in this place and remind us, you know, not to take for granted what he's blessed us with in this place, and that we need to remain in a state of our hearts being turned to the Lord, continually turned to the Lord, so that we can see that one who's speaking to us, and so that he can be manifest, that he can appear anytime he wants to. He can show up on his terms through us. Did anybody else have anything you wanted to share before Steve? Anybody else? I was just thinking about Joseph, you know, and how, just all the things that he went through. And, you know, Jesus didn't show up as his deliverer and pull him out of the ditch or the pit that his brothers threw him into. And he didn't pull him out of being a slave. He didn't pull him out of prison. He actually did pull him out of prison at the very end. But the reality was there was something greater that the Lord did through all that. Was he, Joseph allowed the Lord to appear as his life in all of that. And we see, and you know, the reality of what God worked in him towards his brothers. You know, the devil meant this for bad, but God meant it. You know, the enemy meant this for bad, but God meant it for good. I mean, what God's moral beauty and perfection of character can be seen so clearly right there in Joseph. I mean, because, you know, our flesh would want to go out and get revenge and, you know, hey, I've got power now. You guys are in trouble. You threw me in that pit. So you guys are getting thrown in the pit now, you know. And after that, you're going to be slaves. And then after that, you're going to go to jail. And then you'll be lucky if I don't cut off your head. I mean, that's the way our flesh responds. But it's not the way Jesus responds. And it's not the way that he responded in that. He, you know, the just for the unjust. And we can't do that. If it's not Christ, then all of that garbage, you know, of our flesh will come up. And instead of blessing people, we will end up hurting people. The sad thing about it is usually we don't even realize it because we're so insensitive. But let's go ahead and pray and just ask the Lord to... Father, we need you. Lord, we need you in so many different ways. It's not even funny. But Lord, more than anything, we need you. We need you as our life. We need to walk in oneness with that life, with that beauty, with that perfection that is you, Lord. We know, Lord, that is our only hope of making any kind of eternal impact, Lord, on this earth, is if we do it by you, Lord. And Father, the funny thing about it is, if we do make an eternal impact, it won't be in the way that our flesh thinks it will, because we think in our flesh that we'll become a great person that people can look up to, when in actuality we become lesser and unknown. And Father, we just desire to know you. We just desire to know you as you know us, and that your life would be revealed, your life in us, Lord, would appear. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.